The air inside your house may be polluted, and it may have different problems than the air outside. Scientists are learning more about the air inside homes, and they're finding that in addition to dust or cat dander, most homes contain an alarming number of chemicals. In the first of a two-part series, NPR's John Hamilton looks at what's in household air.
The walls of a home are supposed to protect us. But when it comes to the air we breathe, they're often part of the problem. One reason is that walls themselves can emit toxic chemicals. Dr. Jensen Zhang is studying this problem in his lab at Syracuse University. What's unusual about the lab is that it's big enough to study walls that are life-size.
This is 10 feet high, 12 feet wide. It's a complete wall assembly, representing a very typical residential wood frame wall construction.
This wall sits in a massive frame made of stainless steel. The entire assembly rides on casters. Zhang says that like most modern walls, this one has many layers.
So we have an interior paint, we have primers, we have a gypsum wall board, and then we have the vapor barrier, and we have the insulation materials, and polyurethane strand board, and vinyl sidings.
And most of those layers release chemicals into the air. Even the water-based paint gives off gases that can cause headaches or dizziness. Most fiberglass insulation emits formaldehyde, which can irritate the eyes and lungs. Vinyl siding produces vinyl chloride, which can damage the liver.
Our interest here is trying to determine what's the contributions of each layer to the indoor contamination.
A half dozen lab workers are getting ready to push the wall into place. They don't have much time. Zhang's lab specializes in research that can't be done in any other facility, so each experiment must keep to a very tight schedule. Syracuse has become a hub for scientists who are worried about the quality of indoor air. It's no coincidence that the man who invented air conditioning set up shop here nearly 100 years ago. The university now includes a center of excellence in environmental and energy systems. Ed Bogish is in charge. He says researchers know relatively little about indoor air because they've been studying it for just a couple of decades.
People first started talking about sick building syndrome or building-related illnesses in the 80s, and really that was a consequence of a change in building design that was stimulated by an energy crisis in the early 70s. So there was a fundamental change in design that made buildings tighter.
Today's sealed and insulated houses mean indoor air now contains higher levels of the usual contaminants. Cigarette smoke and pet allergens can't escape the way they used to. Neither can the fumes from nail polish and toilet bowl cleaners. And modern construction has added some new stuff. Formaldehyde comes from the glue in particle board and insulation. Mold thrives where the paper facing of gypsum board gets wet. Bogish says indoor air may now contain literally hundreds of chemicals.
This is complex. I mean, you almost need a degree in chemistry to go in and say, what cocktail of contaminants, chemical contaminants, are in my air, and where did they come from?
An even tougher question is, how dangerous are these contaminants? It all depends on how much you've been exposed to and for how long. Judy Crawford was part of a team that tested the air in 100 homes around Syracuse. She says there were disturbing levels of some nasty chemicals.
In most homes, we would see toluene and xylene and a number of other materials that are given off from tobacco smoke, from commercial products, from paints and adhesives and furnishings and textiles and that sort of thing. And these are typically above outdoor levels, and some of them very high above outdoor levels.
Crawford says most of the homes had at least one smoker. That's clearly a source of contamination that could be controlled. But what the researchers couldn't tell was how much toluene and xylene was coming from other sources. That's where Jensen Zhang's wall comes in. In this experiment, he's hoping to measure exactly what's coming into a house from its construction. And that depends on things like temperature and humidity, as well as the building materials. Zhang plans to sandwich his test wall between two stainless steel chambers.
On the left-hand side, you have this, what we call, climate chamber. You can simulate outdoor climate conditions from Alaska winter to Florida summer conditions. And on the other side, on the right-hand side, is the indoor environmental chamber, which will simulate typical indoor conditions.
Zhang's team will take air samples from the indoor chamber to measure how much of each chemical would seep into a typical modern house.
So what they're going to do is basically today they're going to move into this space, close the chambers, well, clean them, close the chambers, and start testing.
Zhang will be concentrating on gases, but they're only part of the story. A lot of the pollution inside houses is in the form of tiny airborne particles. Dr. Gerald Abraham studies this kind of pollution at Upstate Medical Center in Syracuse. He says airborne particles kill tens of thousands of people each year in the U.S. They're most dangerous to people who are sick or frail.
Many of us get by because we have very good defense mechanisms in our lungs. We can inhale a lot of dust or pollen without any noticeable health effects. But generally, the more of these things that you get exposed to, the greater the risk of having some health effect.
Abraham says the smaller a particle is, the more likely it is to elude the body's defenses.
Particles that get past the nose can get into the upper airways, like the trachea, the windpipe, and the bronchi, the bronchial tubes. There, those particles can interact with the cells that are lining those structures and cause damage to them. Some of the particles can go right through and get into the deeper tissues and can actually get into the bloodstream.
And that can actually make blood thicker, raising the risk of a heart attack or stroke. Unfortunately, most information about particles has come from measurements of outdoor air. Yet people spend about 90% of their time indoors. And researchers know relatively little about the particles inside homes. Scientists say that even without all the answers, it's already clear that indoor air is affecting people's health. And improving the quality of indoor air could produce substantial health benefits. Zhang says that's the ultimate goal of his research. Results from tests on the wall should give architects the information they need to design healthier houses. Zhang's team is almost ready to go. They just need to create an airtight seal between the wall and the two test chambers. Zhang says the experiment should take about a month. John Hamilton, NPR News.
Researchers are hoping to make indoor air safer, and John will tell us how tomorrow. You can also find suggestions on how to improve air quality in your house by going to our website, npr.org.